Well, hello and welcome. This is your host, Kendi Foster, for the Voices of Courage. It's really good that you're here with us today. You know, today we're going to be talking about one of the most important subjects that we could possibly talk about, and that's the subject of peace. You know, peace is probably one of the most understood pursuits in modern life. Most people think that peace comes from circumstances around them and finally, they settle down when things seem to be going right for them, when their finances improve, their relationships get better, the pressure fades with maybe their finances, and all of a sudden they think that's going to bring them peace. But the truth is that it's not. I'm going to give you maybe a radical idea for you, but you know, peace comes from within. Peace comes when we allow ourselves to quiet the mind, quiet the thoughts, and take a deep dive into stillness. That's where it starts, right? And, you know, I've been meditating, I don't know, for maybe 30 plus years now. And I've learned that in that stillness, it's, like I said, just the beginning. Because what happens after that is once I move from stillness back into the world's still there. Nothing's changed. Everything's happening. But how do we keep ourselves from aligning with the outside world, the outside circumstances, and rather align with what's within us to bring that that peace to us? You know, with noise and distraction, emotional overload, division, constant stimulation, you know, many people are outwardly, maybe you're successful, but within, you're feeling stressed, you're feeling anxiety, you're feeling that things are just not working for you in that way, right? You know, our hospitals are filled with people that have stress diseases, that have heart attacks, that have obesity issues, emotionally eating themselves into a state where their bodies can't even survive it. So this is a really important subject. So from my point of view, peace isn't something that we chase. It's something we awaken. And this the show today is all about that. We're going to talk about how to awaken your inner peace and therefore reflect it in the outer. Now, listen, why is that important? You know, we got wars all over the planet, right? You think the people that are behind the wars, behind the military machine are peaceful? You think they have a lot of peace behind them? I don't know. I don't want to judge them, but I would say this, that it doesn't look that way. And, you know, when someone has anger and revenge and they're pissed off at somebody, right, you know, and their only option is to go out and, you know, clobber that person, right, whether it's an individual, whether it's a country warring another country, the only way to stop that is how to learn how to have some peace within. You know, if we have peace within our hearts, then we have peace within our family. If we have peace within our family, we'll have peace within our community. If you have peace within the community, you'll have peace within the nation. If you have peace within the nation, you'll have peace around the world. So it really is an individual peace that we're talking about today. A very special guest that's a return guest. I invited him back because he's got such a deep and profound message around peace, how you can attain it in your own life. And we're going to talk about that and so much more as soon as I get back from my break. So we will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Buster. I'm with my very special guest, BD Carmichael. BD, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Ken. I'm excited about being here.
Yeah, welcome back, actually. You know, you were here before. We've had some good discussion, and I want to take it a little deeper this time. So for those of you that don't know BD, he's a successful business leader, speaker, author of The Prayer of Freedom and The Prayer of Peace. And he's got a new book out, which we're going to be talking about. After building and leading multiple companies, he turned his focus forward, helping individuals experience deeper peace, clarity, and freedom through spiritually grounded, results-oriented practices. BD teaches a practical approach to inner transformation that blends timeless spiritual principles with real-world application, empowering people to move beyond anxiety, fear, and frustration into a life of greater purpose, confidence, and our subject today, peace. Well, all right. For those of you that are just joining us, how did you get into the peace movement, I guess, here?
The peace movement, I love it. Actually, interesting. I grew up in a medical family. I married into a medical family. I went into business. And about 10 years ago, I just felt this urge in my heart that people were being stuck in a lack of peace and anxiety and depression, just constant irritability, some sort of tension that's just been going on in their life. And they're not getting any results. My father-in-law, who's been deceased, he was a 50 or 60 year internal medicine doctor back in the 1900s. And he always told me that health is tied to three pillars, physical, mental, and spiritual. And he had a great success rate in helping his patients get free of all kinds of things, especially the peace-related stuff. But that seems to have gone away. So about 10 years ago, I got in this desire to kind of press in. And one thing led to another. Here I am. I'm helping people get rid of things that psychiatry says is impossible. Anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorders, panic attacks, and even things like chronic pain and asthma, those type of things. And I find that they're all tied into that third leg, that spiritual. So I shifted from business into focusing on this, and here I am.
Well, when we talk about spiritual, how do you define that from your point of view?
Yeah, it's not religious. So spiritual, if you think about we're mental, so that's how we think. Physical, that's this physical body. And then there's a spiritual component to us that's neither mental or physical. The simplest way to call it, I call it our conscience. And what happens is this, it's sort of like a moral compass. When we do something wrong, like against someone else, it makes us feel guilty. No one had to tell us that. It was like put there by our creator. When we do something good for someone, it makes us feel elated. So that's the part I'm talking about. There's like another dimension to us that really helps, that drives a lot of the things that happen in the mental and physical side.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. You know, I mentioned that I'm a meditator for, you know, 3 decades. And what I found is we would define it as the observer. The soul is the observer of the thoughts. It's not the soul. Right. So it's right,
exactly.
That observer piece. And a lot of times we're running through life so fast that we've disconnected from that observer. We've disconnected from the soul. And what we're doing is we're living from the outside in instead of from the inside out, which creates a lot of the issues that we're talking about today.
And that's perfect.
We talked about taking it deeper on this program, you and me, because I think that, you know, it's easy to go and maybe get a pill for your anxiety or, you know, go to the next, health coach that tells you, you know, to do all these things. I'm nothing wrong with that. But I think if you want lasting peace, you want to have a sense of understanding of who you are, a sense of purpose, a sense of fulfillment, you got to take it deeper.
You really do. One of the things that started to frustrate me is I would see friends that, in fact, this happened with my wife. She suffered with panic attacks and high anxiety for most of her life. When she, you know, when we graduated high school, we went to high school together. Most of our class went to universities, if they went to further education, in other states or out of town. She stayed in town because she was too anxious to leave town. And when we got married, she was always having panic attacks over the least little things. As I started to understand this, I started to understand a framework that identified the source of these things. I was able to guide her into releasing that source, and she no longer has panic attacks. So this idea that, you know, a lot of times a guy came up to me, he's an acquaintance recently, and he said, you know, I'm just being eaten up with anxiety. I said, I went to the doctor probably 6 or 8 months ago. He said, well, you have anxiety. You're going to have it the rest of your life. So let's get you on meds. And that's the typical protocol in our healthcare system. But I said, well, you know, anxiety is easy to get rid of once you understand not only that there is a third leg, but understand how that third leg operates. So I was able to help him identify where the source of his anxiety was. It happened about a year and a half earlier, and undo that source. And his anxiety was gone literally in about 4 or 5 minutes. So I'm seeing things like that. Once you understand that backside of what that underneath, and that's what I wanted to share a little bit more deeply on today.
Well, and that's a big piece, because that is kind of the link that puts it all together. You know, when I'm thinking that the link that unravels fear and worry and stress and anxiety and panic attacks, there's a link here. And when you can understand what that is, then what happens is life gets better and better. So the question I have for you, Beatty, is, and you've alluded to it, but how do we get to that little link or that string that holds all this together inside of us and be able to unravel that?
Yeah, let me take you back to how I got there, because I think if you understand the pathway I went on and the framework that I start to see things through, then hopefully it'll start connecting the dots. Okay, that for me, it started connecting these dots. Once I understood the spiritual dimension framework, it's like, ah, that works with anxiety. It works with anger. It works with rheumatoid arthritis. It works with allergies. It works with addictions. It seems like so many things. I'm seeing, I think we mentioned on the last show that I teach at an addiction recovery center for women, and taking them through the deeper form of this process, they're seeing all of those type of things at about a 90% success rate. They're seeing those things disappear. So here's the background. As I started to see people being stuck, and I realized there's something missing. My father-in-law used to help people get free of this stuff all the time, but now no one knows how to do it. It's like, you know, the old lost stuff. Everything's turned to pharmaceutical. So I started to say, where can I learn about the spiritual dimension of us? So I started going back into ancient religious text, okay? And one that I found to be most accurate in terms of spiritual laws, I call them laws. I'm not sure if there's a law, but it's like the spiritual dimension of us, is the ancient manuscripts of the Bible. And it started to say something really interesting. It said that in the spiritual dimension, there are entities, I'll call them, the Bible calls it spirit. Sometimes people know, you know, think of things like dark energy or low vibration. I think it's all kind of using the same terms. But that there's something in that spiritual dimension that actually is manifest as either human attributes or human emotions. And just give you a list of them so this starts to make some sense. It speaks about a spirit of wisdom. And it says, when a spirit of wisdom comes into man, to a man, then that man becomes very wise. And when that spirit of wisdom leaves, the man no longer has wisdom. Then there's another one called a spirit of skill. this is God. If you're not familiar with the Bible, there's a creator God, and he's talking to this guy named Moses. This is thousands and thousands of years ago is what these texts are saying. And God is telling Moses how to create this very elaborate place to worship him. And he says, I have given Belalel, a person, a spirit of skill to do all the embroidery work. And I started thinking about that and said, you know, maybe that's the source of you, like a child prodigy, 3 years old, can play the piano like, you know, like a maestro, but he, you know, has never learned it. He just kind of knows it internally. Then it talks about things like a spirit of fear. That's like what my wife, I would say my wife had a spirit of fear. It has a spirit of joy, a spirit of peace, a spirit of lying, spirit of anger. So I started to see this framework. Could there be, and this is how I'm picturing this, not as fact, but as a framework that says, let me start to experiment with these things and see if this makes sense. So I started to use this framework of a spiritual entity that actually manifests as mental loops of fear, where you're just always afraid, always anxious, or mental loops of anger, and you're always irritable, or anything like that. Then, like, so now, as I started to experiment with this, I started to say, if there's something there, it came in at a certain time. And probably the same way that you untie a knot, you undo what got it there. So can we untie whatever let it in? That's when I began experimenting with a source where it begins and undoing that source. And my theory was, if you can undo what let this spiritual entity in, and this is figuratively speaking, I don't know how it works, but where this thing comes into our spiritual dimension and then undo it, will that thing leave, and will it then create this peace back? One of the things I started to see interesting in some of these Bible texts is that it appeared that when a spiritual entity left, whatever it was causing instantly disappeared. It talks about a person with epilepsy, and this man, this great prophet, it describes as a person, gets that spirit out, and instantly the epilepsy leaves. There's another one where it talks about a spirit of something that's causing a woman to hunch over, sort of like a crooked back. And as soon as that spirit disappeared, the person stood straight up. So I started to see that pattern. And
listen, I got to take a break, and we'll okay. get to that pattern, and we'll be right back.
If you've been in an accident that wasn't your fault, well, your favorite attorney has a message for you. Collision, calamity, catastrophe? Are you innocent, faultless, above reproach? If you want money, you need an attorney. You need a bulldog. But finding one, it's laborious, it's strenuous, it's stupefying. That's why you got to call the number on your screen now. They'll help you connect to a legal expert. You have questions, they have answers. They know the legalese, the lingo, the jargon, and the argo. They'll even tell you how much money your case could be worth. $300,000, $2 million, $86,491, all sorts of numbers. Slip and falls, work accidents, car, truck, bus, motorcycle, motorbike, e-bike, tandem bike. These bulldogs will make sure people pay. And if you don't get paid, the attorneys don't get paid, and I don't get paid. So I compel you, I implore you, I beseech you to pick up that phone and call now to see what your case could be worth.
800-714-6530.
You've heard me say it before. What you consume affects how you think. Kendi Foster here. If you want to operate at your highest level, to truly step into your power, you've got to fuel your mind and body with clean, potent foods that align with nature. That's why I want to introduce you to something I've been using, Empower Plus. This is not just another supplement. It's a farm-to-body superfood combining broccoli microgreens, sprouts, and lion's mane mushrooms, designed to support brain clarity, focus, and overall vitality. But here's what really sets it apart. They harvest and deliver this product in the same day, preserving the life force energy and potency. It's about conscious fuel for a conscious life. And now, when you go to voicesofcourage.us/Ken20, you'll receive 20% off your order. I truly hope you'll experience Empower Plus, because what you put into your body shapes what you create in your life. Remember, voicesofcourage.us/Ken20 to get your 20% off your order. Well, welcome back, everybody. We'll be right back with my guest, B.D. Carmichael. But for some of you that are watching right now, I want to encourage you to go down, if you're watching on YouTube, and click that little subscribe button there. That'll help us to help you and help us. But it'll help you so you never miss a show and you'll be able to pass it on to others. And for those of you that are listening, my listening audience, you can go to our website, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork. Again, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork to get all of the information there. So, and subscribe. All right. Back to my guest, BD.
Yes. So,
go ahead.
We were talking about how the ancient Bible text describes a spiritual entity that manifests either human attributes or things like sickness or anxiety or fear. And that when the Bible describes when those things disappear or leave that person's spiritual side, that those things instantly disappear from the human side. Okay. So that became a framework that I started to test. One of the things that happened in my business life, I'm a marketer and I test everything. You test and measure. You have a control group and you test against the control group to see what works. So I started to apply that in this approach. Like, for example, the fast track of how this started to come about. That man that I mentioned that had anxiety, he came up to me and said, you know, I've been dealing with anxiety and it's tearing me up. And in like 5 minutes, it's totally gone. Here's what actually happened. Starting with the premise that maybe there's a spiritual entity, or what the Bible calls a spiritual entity, but the framework that something in the spiritual side, spiritual dimension of this person, starts to create this mental loop that keeps amplifying itself of fear, and now it can't get rid of it, right? So that's why the doctor diagnosed him, but then don't know how to undo it. So I said, there's got to be a source to it, and that source has a beginning. So I asked him, how long have you had this anxiety? He said, about 1.5 years. Okay, so now I want to go back 1.5 years and see what happened. And I said, was there anything that happened about 1.5 years ago that terribly frightened you? And he said, yes. He said, my wife had a breast exam. They found lumps and I became terribly afraid. Okay. So now we find the source of it. And then, and that source, by the way, we were talking in our first show about that three-legged stool. And when we get the third leg out of alignment with how we're designed to live, it creates the stress on the other two legs. So that out of alignment is when we violate something in our conscience. And that violating something in our conscience, it's like what we've been wired by this creator to say, this is right and wrong. So one of the spiritual truths or the spiritual laws that the ancient texts, the scriptures talk about, says that the perfect love of our creator is supposed to cast out fear. So if he got afraid and did not release it, then that would be a violation of this conscience. So that was the framework I was operating on. And I said, well, I think, so he said, you know, that's when they found lumps is when he became terribly afraid. So I said, I think that's the source. And I explained how perfect love cast out fear. So if you hold on to fear, you're rejecting that perfect love. Perfect love is what brings peace. So I said, let's do this. And I guided him into releasing the fear. So think about the way the knot got tied, you have to undo it. It got tied by saying, I'm afraid, and he done let it go. So now I'm just going to guide him to undo that. Let go of the fear. And when he let go of the fear within a few minutes, his anxiety, I had him rate it. He said right then, he was on medication. It was 4. And it just went, and just totally disappeared. It so touched him. He gave me, he's a big man. He said, gave me a great big bear hug and just started to weep. Because it was first time in 1.5 years he hasn't been anxious. that was the beginning of understanding the what you mentioned is underneath the surface, right? It's the things underneath the surface in our life and that soul side of us that is actually the, I'm finding, is the source of returning peace back into our lives if you just know how to turn the things off so that what's blocking peace disappears and peace comes back in.
Well, you know, there seems to be a faith element into this also. So if he didn't, let's say, believe you, okay, he was skeptical. Like, will this work? Will this not work? I'm just wondering how, if that would have maybe not stopped his unwinding of this, but would have delayed it a bit.
It might. But it's interesting, faith is religious. This has nothing to do with faith. This is what, you know, even though I'm learning spiritual dynamics from...
I hear what you're saying, faith is religious, but it's also when we have faith in ourselves, when we have faith in families, you know, there's another, we don't have to use the word in a religious context. I'm thinking about if he had uncertainty, if he had skepticism, if he had beliefs that were challenging, you know, the unwinding process, if that may have slowed it down, or he might have got a progressive healing instead of an instant healing. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it might. I'd actually guide him in one more thing, because I find, I don't think faith, now I've been doing this for 10 years and I've seen thousands of people restore peace when nothing else has worked.
Yeah.
And none of them really believed it was going to happen. They had hope. So they went through the process. But I think it's really the process. The one thing that we did that did speed it up, because I have seen this, and so I start to practice this. You know how, and this goes back now into maybe faith a little bit, you know how the spoken word carries power?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what I had him do, once he released the fear, said, I confess that fear was wrong, and I release it, and I let it go. And then I had him to speak to that anxiety and say, anxiety, I command you to leave me now. I find that when you speak to that thing, once you release it, then it's almost like a command, and it leaves out. I don't know how it works. I just find that the spoken word makes it go out faster. If you don't do that, it'll just eventually trickle out. But I find you can push it out if you speak it once you release it.
Wow, that's powerful.
Can I tell another story on that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, because we're talking about peace, right?
We're talking about peace. Yeah, and how to have inner peace. Yeah.
Another person, because, you know, one of the things that we have right now, we see a lot more of issues of suicide. And where does it come from? And I just want to relay a story. This isn't personal, but from a man that I know, because he was sharing this. And he was walking down the street. He met this couple that he'd known for years, an older couple. He said, hey, how you guys doing? And the woman said, I'm doing okay. And you could tell something was wrong. And he has a very spiritual sense to him, I guess is the best way to describe it. And he sensed something. He sensed something dark, really dark, like suicide concept. So he leaned over to her and just kind of whispered in her ear, "Do you ever have thoughts of suicide?" And she burst out crying, and said, "Yes, all the time. I can't stop it." He said, "How long have you had it?" Now watch this. The same idea, a human emotion, an attribute that's probably caused from a spiritual dimension side. So now he's going to find out how long was it. She said, I've had it about 6 months. So now he's going to probe and say, what happened 6 months ago that might have caused it? So he said, did anything happen 6 months ago where you said anything like, I could die, I wish I were dead, anything tied to that? She said, yes. My grandson died 6 months ago. And I just said, I am so grieving, I could just die. He said, that's probably where it came in. So he had her renounce, right? So that was a word that she said. So she renounced that word and then commanded, he said, suicide, I command you to leave me. and it's totally gone. So this idea that something comes in based on something we do that is usually against this conscience, something that's a, you know, just a wrong thing to say or a wrong thing to do, that is just normal human, but we don't let it go. That's the key. We hold on to it. Going back and releasing it, I'm finding is releasing things like anxiety or panic attacks or that suicide or addictions. It's fascinating.
You know, it's also fascinating. You know, in the Bible, in the Christian Bible, it talks about, I think Jesus says, where two or more are gathered, there I am. Do you believe this process takes two people? I mean, can we just go, and maybe we can't, you know, well, okay, I just remember now, yeah, that's when my suicidal thoughts came in. I'm choosing to release that, renounce that, and move on. And I'm done with that. Can we do it ourselves? Or do you think there's something with two of us?
Yeah, because the Bible also says, and this is where I started to come up with this concept of releasing. So in the Bible, there's this concept of doing something against God, and then you release that by simply confessing you're wrong. So one of the places in the New Testament of the Bible is actually a place called James 5:16. And it says, confess when you're wrong, and then you'll be healed. So I started to take that as this process. Releasing is a confession, right? I release it, I renounce it, I agree I shouldn't have done that. And what I started to do, and this is where Outrageous Peace comes in. In chapter 8 of Outrageous Peace, I have a non-religious meditative prayer that you ask your inner self or this creator being, you know, like, I want to get rid of this anxiety. Is there something I'm holding on to, something that I should release? And over time, it may be instant, it may be immediately, it may be over the next several days. The idea is that your inner self starts to surface whatever's been holding on to that's the root of that, and then it teaches you how to release it. What I'm finding, Ken, is that people are doing this now entirely on their own. So they don't need two people. What they need is someone to guide them into what they've not known. And what I do in life is when I'm with someone, I guide them. But more than that, I send them or give them my book because it guides them to not only get freedom of that thing, but other things that they may be struggling with. And like for here, here's an interesting example because you say, what in the world does this have to do with the spiritual side? But it has everything to do with it. If you've ever had a partner relationship that you no longer have, but let's say it was a controlling or abusive relationship, a lot of women will resonate with this. Even though that relationship may have been 10 years ago, it's like you're still controlled by that partner, right? You can't get rid of it. What's actually happened, this is now another spiritual thing I picked up from the Bible. It says when two people are joined together, they become one. It says that you become one flesh. So we've always said, you know, that's the body parts becoming one. But the reality is in the Bible terms, it uses flesh as a spiritual entity as well. So in the Addiction Recovery Center where I teach, these women have all kinds of controlling things that seem to be controlling them from their past relationships that they can't get rid of. And I started to postulate, I wonder if there's a connection there that's allowing a controlling entity to stay in them, if you know, metaphorically in them. So I led them to then break any spiritual connection, negative spiritual connection with those past partners. And then when they did that and started to just, you know, I command this connection, this controlling thing to leave me. Usually, and this time is usually like the next day, by the next day, that feeling of being controlled was completely gone. So I'm starting to identify that that goes even deeper. And that's where the Outrageous Peace, chapter 8 goes into, because it covers the main areas. The main areas that I find where we have these open issues are going to be unforgiveness towards someone's, unresolved relationships, things that are just very dark things that we started to experiment with that we knew we probably shouldn't, and then just some little things that, like this fear and other stuff that come up that created.
That's really powerful, BD. I'd like to have our team here put the book up on the screen there. Outrageous Peace. You can get it. Where can they get the book, BD?
Yeah, best place is outrageouspeace.com. There's some free information there, but most importantly, direct links to the Zach book, mm-hmm. outrageouspeace.com.
Well, I can hardly wait to hear what's in chapters 9 and and chapter 7 and 6.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, it takes you into this understanding of what happens on the spiritual, that third leg, when we don't release things, and then guide you how to release, how to surface it, and then how to release it. What I do at the Addiction Recovery is actually a different book. It's the next stage. It's called The Prayer of Freedom, and it takes a deeper dive into that. They both talk on the same thing, just one at a very simple level and one at a very deep level for those that have deeper issues.
Very good. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to go to a break, and when we come back, I want to explore the importance of environment in keeping this spiritual peace aligned. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm talking with BD Carmichael. We're talking about his process and his book, Outrageous Peace. You know, BD, one of the things that I've found over the years that seems to be important is the environment that we place ourselves in. Everything in this world is energy. Everything gives off an energy. And if we're putting ourselves in environments that seem to... keep us stuck in certain patterns, certain vibrations, certain energy. How does that impact, and how do we release that, or how do we change that?
That's actually a really important thing. I've been finding this, not with everyone, but enough times to know that it is a very significant influencer. There are two types of environments. One that are just kind of, I'll call it caustic. Okay, so typically it's you're in an environment with someone else, and there's always bitterness, there's always anger, there's always something that is of high conflict with that person. And in those environments, if you can exit or minimize that, distance yourself from those people, because that creates a lot of the outbursts that we go through. And there's actually, I find this, believe it or not, with trauma. So trauma is when you have someone that overpowers you and enforces that overpowering onto you, whether it's abuse or verbal. There's something that almost like a the only thing that comes in my mind's eye is like a virus. You get too close to someone who's really sick, you're going to catch their sickness. And that type of environment, I find sometimes you will end up picking up, lack of a better word, whatever it is that's driving them in that irritability and that violence. And you have to ultimately undo it if you're not careful. But if you know that ahead of time or you sense it, keep your distance, because there is something in that spiritual side of our lives that we don't understand that can impact it. But the other thing, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the other thing where I find a lot is there's some really dark things that happen in life, and we'll recognize it as dark energy. Some people can sense it. You come into a room, let's say you're looking at a new apartment or new house, and it's just something feels dark. What I'm finding at a very high level of consistency is when someone moves into that environment, all kinds of things start happening because there's a darkness there that's not due to the things that's happening that you're doing, but they're now influencing you, and it creates a lot of darkness. I try to help people, get out of those environments pretty quickly because I've seen some really bad things. So environments really can make a
impact. And sometimes there's environments we can't get out of. I mean, we might have a child that is, acting out, or,
yeah.
We've been married for 20 years and now all of a sudden, there's a health crisis and the wife or the husband are going through, maybe some memory issues or some physical, issues. And they're worried, they're fearful, So I guess the question there is, how do we hold this, this energy, this frequency, the vibration, when everything around us might be going wrong?
They used to say an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah.
Releasing a day keeps the peace intact. So when you're in that type of environment, you can't escape. Yeah. The thing I tell people to do is once they have no peace, they start to go through the outrageous peace process of identifying what they've been holding on to and releasing it. I tell them the number one thing to stay in peace and to never have it disappear again is to now recognize what's going on and release quickly. So like if I'm dealing with someone and they're having memory problems, my aunt has been going through that and is really tough. You have to constantly release both the frustration and also the fear, right? Because if you're the caregiver, it's always frustrating. If it just went from her, I'd be able to go do these things. I release that. I release my bitterness against my aunt. I release my fear of what this is going to do, okay? So you have to constantly release it so that you never give, in that metaphor, this framework, that spiritual entity thing, a mental loop to keep it going.
And for my audience out there that are wondering, well, can I really do this? Can I release this quickly? You can pick up, I have an essential oil bottle right here. I had to hold on to it, pick it up, look at it. I'm holding it. Now, how fast can I release it? Just like that, instantly, right?
Yes.
That's fast we can release these old energies, thoughts, feelings, vibrations that are sitting within us. I think that's an important piece, baby.
Yeah. The key is release quickly so they never get a root in you. That's the key.
Yeah. Never get a root. Okay. Well, listen, this time went like this. Amazing. We've got exactly 3.5 minutes left. Final thoughts on this from you.
Yeah, final thoughts. A lot of people think that what they're dealing with is normal. That underlying tension, normal. That darkness in their life, normal. Like they're always carrying around a heavyweight backpack every day and it keeps getting heavier. That's just normal. The doctors tell us you're going to have it the rest of your life, so just live with it. Let's get you on some meds, change your thinking, calm things down and just handle it. I'm finding it's not normal. It's actually something abnormal. It's in that spiritual side of us most of the time. And I'm finding people as they go through the outrageous peace process that they're actually getting free of most of these things and things that they always thought was just like age-related stuff. I have a friend that had a crick in his neck. He was a parachuter, right, in the military, and he landed wrong many years back. And he thought that was just normal, just something from an accident. as he started going through this process, that pain disappeared. And what he started to realize is it wasn't normal. It was just something that was never released. I don't know what it was, but going through this process, things pop up. So I want to give people encouragement. There is hope. It is from the spiritual dimension rather than the mental or physical. And once you start to understand that process, you don't even have to understand it. Just go through chapter 8, Outrageous Peace, and you can get free of so much.
Outrageous Peace is the book to go get, and you can get it at outrageouspeace.com. Is that accurate?
That's perfect. Yes, that's
outrageouspeace.com. You know, that piece that you just said is so important. I'd ask my audience to do this, okay? Just check in with your body, right? Your body is an amazing machine that'll tell you if there's something underneath the surface that you need to release. So if you have pain in your hand, you got back pain, you got leg pain, you've been sick a while, notice what you have. Those are symptoms that there's something in there to release.
So true.
So true.
They're the signals that said it's time to release something.
It's a signal. And, you know, outside of, you know, maybe a acute something happens to you and you have to, you know, go rush to the doctor in emergency. You know, outside of that, because our doctors are good at putting broken bones together and things like that. But, you know, outside of that, you want to really ask the medical advisor, can they heal whatever you have? If they say no, that's okay. They just don't know how to do it, okay? There are ways to heal just about everything in this world. In fact, everything, okay? I've seen it with my own eyes, everything. So
that's what I'm saying with this too.
Yeah, you just got to get on board. Get on board and stop playing into these old thoughts that say somebody told you this is incurable or you can't heal this. I've seen hundreds of incurable, quote, diseases be healed. Hundreds of them, okay? We're talking stage 4 cancers. We're talking bones that should have never moved again. We're talking things like that. So it's possible if you are willing to get on track and on board. Go get the book. It's a great way to start. Outrageous Peace. Have that in your life no matter what. Demand it. You deserve it. We all deserve it. BD, thank you so much for being here, man.
Thank you, Ken. I sure appreciate the opportunity to share.
Yeah, thank you so much. And for all of you, continue to watch this show. And you too will be able to see the unseeable and know the unknowable, and soon you'll be able to do the impossible.